Elise, tell me where you're from and a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thanks. I am a lifelong Alaskan. My family came up back in the 40s and serving in World War II. And so now I'm a third generation Alaskan, and I did go south for some schooling and came back up after I finished, graduated from high school in California, University of California, San Diego, and came up with my husband, and we raised our four children here. My youngest is 18, and I've done everything in terms of work like many Alaskans. I put myself through through college, working everything from fish processing to construction in the summers, and I worked in healthcare and as a waitress a couple times over. And my husband and I returned up here, and I taught in community schools, and I've owned a couple of small businesses and managed a large hotel in Alaska. But it's my work fighting for public education for each and every Alaskan child that brings me to running for office. I was frustrated after years of the underfunding and that our schools were facing, and frankly, we were also, many of the schools were threatened to be closed, and I joined a group that's a statewide nonpartisan group called Great Alaska Schools. I helped grow that from a grassroots force of just around 40 to over 4,000 across the state. And our work was around forcing lawmakers to take our demands seriously and restore the funding and to improve public education in the way that the local communities choose to improve it. And so it was in that work that I come today, because I was frustrated that the people in the building were not listening. They weren't reflecting what we value. And so I decided to take my skill of bringing together people to solve problems and fighting for our people and communities, and decided to run for office and take that solutions-oriented, independent voice and mindset to Washington. And I'm ready to fight for all Alaskans as I represent all Alaskans in Washington.
All right. Thank you. And real quick, tell me, where are you living right now?
I live in Anchorage right now. I have four children, and my goal is to make sure that they want to live in Alaska with their children here. And I have lived in Juneau also, but my elders were up here, and when they became ill, I came back to Anchorage area. So that's where I am in Anchorage. I've also worked in other parts of Alaska. I've done some work in public education in Stebbins and St. Michael's, in Hooper Bay and Mountain Village and Kotzebue and in Fairbanks.
Oh, wow. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important for me to continue going to all of the areas of Alaska if I'm going to really represent them. So on the campaign trail, I've been fortunate to be able to travel beyond. So I've been to Bethel a couple times, and Kwikluk and Apaskiak, Dillingham, Nome, and many others, Kodiak, Cordova, because I want to make sure that as a congresswoman, I am truly hearing from the people. And I recognize that every community is unique and their celebrations are unique along with their challenges. And I pledge to visit as many rural communities as I can during my tenure. It's such an honor, to be honest. To meet so many people who are, I guess the way I would describe it is salt of the earth, real people. And so as your congresswoman, I will also, I'll bring more infrastructure and the things that I know are needed, low-cost energy to rural Alaska and a fight for rights around maintaining a way of life and public safety. Those are the things that I've been hearing about most. And I'm happy to address other issues that maybe you have soon, but the way I have been hearing it, there's a lot of ways where a change in leader might make a big difference for the communities, everything from directing federal funding and resources to fight the effects of climate change in villages in a more rapid way than what we're doing right now, to doing things like ensuring that we have, you know, access to the adequate, basic and affordable necessities like water and heating and broadband internet that's really broadband and open. So those are the things I've been hearing about, but I'll be quiet now and hear what maybe you might have a question about.
Okay, yeah, Elise, thank you. That works. Yeah, there's a couple of things. I mean, I want to go back to the education, but you mentioned things around energy and climate change. I mean, do you feel like you are the more environmentally conscious candidate in this race?
I think there's no question about some of the basic core values that are different between Don Young and myself. For example, I understand the science of climate change and the importance of respecting science. I think it's important that we listen to the experts around the fact that we are at ground zero for negative effects of the climate change. You know, all across Alaska, the crisis is undeniable. Rising temperatures, coastal erosion, melting permafrost. I've witnessed it firsthand, and I'm sure all of the listeners have as well. And they really impact or should impact our policy. Things like broken ice, for example, on our river systems, all of that's going to make a difference. And they threaten the daily life of communities across the state. And I would say also that it could bring climate change could bring subsistence hunting and fishing in Alaska Native communities to really the verge of collapse. We're worried about that right now. And so in Congress, I will fight to protect, you know, what makes Alaska so unique and important to the people here, our natural environment. There's, of course, a good discussion to be had around the balance of the economic outcomes and the preservation of what would be and is our way of life. And I'm happy to have those difficult dialogues because I think there is a balance there, but I think I respect that in a way that is perhaps more forward-looking than our current representative who has been serving for nearly half a century. Unfortunately, you know, he just hasn't been there recently, if you will, and I respect his work, but we really need to be enhancing the funding for climate change research, not casting doubt on it. You know, I think that's really key. UAF, for example, and UAS is doing good work too, but UAF is one of the most cited research institutions in the entire world on climate change, and we really should be steering more research dollars into our universities. Ultimately what matters because it's the resources that's going to lead to the best policy and what we should do then when we are thinking about how to ensure and secure and mitigate all of these impacts from climate change. And that's work ahead that I don't think that the current representative has been keeping its eye on, and I support securing all necessary funds to relocate the threatened villages, not just part of it, and investing in the research development and really addressing the engineering challenges that are associated with that melting permafrost up north. I know you don't experience that there, the listeners down south so much, but boy, it's a big deal up north, and the way homes need to be built differently is really critical. And so I look forward to being, let's just say, maybe a representative that's keeping the eye out for the future policy that needs to be met.
Absolutely. And, yeah, I mean, while we're talking about Don Young, what do you think of Don Young?
I want to be respectful. He has served for 45 years, and I'm grateful for the time served, but I think that Alaska cannot afford another 2 years of Don Young. It's just critical that we acknowledge, you know, he's proud that he's never used his iPhone for texting. He's never used a laptop computer, and we're in 2018, where we need to be thinking about how we're going to make friends in D.C. differently. Things are different now, and he's termed out of any office of power, or for ethical reasons, he cannot be a chairperson. On the other hand, we'll be able to be at a position in a power. I'll have nothing but potential for that. I also will be in the majority, likely. So that's just a really big difference. And also, there are some issues that are key that where he's been voting in ways that are harmful to Alaska, and particularly to Alaska Native communities. Things like the Medicaid expansion, which is really important for the rural hospitals to have resources for. He's voted against that 56 times in terms of pre-existing conditions and things like that. He's just really failed to acknowledge and understand that that's so important. And then areas around violence against women. So we know we have the highest domestic violence and sexual assault here in the state, the highest in the nation. And among Alaska Native women, it's 10 times the national average. And I think it's really important that, we address that the rate of sexual abuse of Alaska Native women is a statewide crisis that must be addressed in Congress. And I'll work to ensure that there's one act in particular, it's called the Violence Against Women's Act, that Don Young has not reauthorized. He kicked it down, so to speak, kicked the can down the road to December, right after the election. And I think it's because he didn't have the courage to reauthorize it and strengthen it now. And we need to make sure we do that. And we also need to strengthen the tribal court's authority to process offenders. These are key issues that I will say he's been weak in those areas. And I think it's important for Alaskans to appreciate the voting record. Because if you don't look at that and see that we've got a unique opportunity here for change, then we're missing out on taking back, or I should say even taking for the first time, power to the people. And that's what this whole race has been about for me. It's like, look, I'm running because not because I'm looking for power for myself. I'm looking for power for our next generation through our votes, through getting in office by way of the people. I'm not taking a dime from corporate PACs. So unlike Don Young, who half of his money, 47% comes from PACs. So when he walks into Washington, of course he's thinking about, well, how am I going to get reelected by those same people? He's not thinking about the overall people. And I think it's a really important distinction between the two of us. I'm the only candidate to ever get to this position where we're this close. We're neck and neck. So every vote will matter. It could be down to 3 votes between us. Who knows? So I'm trying to help voters all across the state appreciate that this time the power's back to the people. I've done this by way of a lot of people coming together in a grassroots way. We've raised over $1.5 million, and the average donation is less than $20. We're not doing this like any campaign ever before in Alaska. We have more than 1,000 volunteers. And if any listener right now is interested, we're there are ways they can volunteer right now just by going online to my website. It's EliseForAlaska.com. I warmly welcome everyone. Join in this movement. It's going to feel good when we've taken this position back for the people.
Absolutely. And, yeah, I mean, the campaign has been pretty interesting, and especially the dollars that are going into it. So one thing you said is that you know, if you were to get in, you feel like you would be part of the majority. Do you really believe that? Do you think that's going to happen?
Well, there are 106 races right now, like me, who are people who are not taking any money from corporate PACs. And I'm unusual because I'm independent also. I have been for over a dozen years. I just think it's important that we drop the partisan shouting and get things done. But Alaska Democratic Party sued to open their ballot. So I am running as a Democratic nominee, but the arrangement that I negotiated is that I will still be able to stay an independent. But I have agreed that I will be at least initially caucusing with the Democrats, and I think that all of the political pundits who are looking at these 106 races think that we will definitely be seeing a change in the House. So, in fact, I think it's like a somewhere mid-80s% chance. So that tells me that if all of the political pundits see that some of these races are going to win, and we only need to win 24 seats to flip the House. And like I said, there's 106 races like mine that are head-to-head, that are very close, neck-to-neck. So I think, I think I will be in the majority. And either way, I'll be able to speak up for Alaskans only.
Okay, definitely. Yeah. That'll be interesting for your race and for, all of them across the country. I'm pretty interested. And then let's just go back to education, since that's a big focus of yours. And you've talked about how we could be putting more money towards education. Can you give me a sense of, you know, what you believe? How can I say this? Can you give me a sense of, you know, what needs to be done with that money? Some people feel like you keep throwing money at education, but it's not necessarily making the most of it. What do we need to be doing?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And it's different for each district, each area locally have different answers about how to make education more engaging and more accessible. I think it's important that we listen to the districts about that. Some of the decisions are state or district-wide. I encourage each listener to get involved with their own community of learning because we need to take that back. I think that particularly in rural Alaska, there is a will in some cases to encourage more local input because our students are not able to keep the heart of learning as front center as it should be. When we know where there is, for example, languages, immersion opportunities that will allow for the children to learn early what the origin language, or the language that's appropriate for that particular area or region, that really brings the heart of learning more center, and that's really important that we think about that. Language retention. Also, there are things that we can do in learning to be a lot more focused on cradle to career. There's some early learning pieces that we've been missing and we haven't been investing in, and that's actually a good time also to bring in home languages. So I am a firm supporter that we need to make sure our early families are understanding what it will take to help our children be ready for the K-12 school, and also the K-12 needs to be ready for the families that come in a very culturally responsive way to be more engaging and to have the relevance and connectivity to a whatever the life path is ahead of them. Should it be in a subsistence role or should it be in a cash-based economy? We need to make sure that every child has the skills and readiness for a sustainable, rich life ahead of them. And that's what I intend to ensure that we're getting our heads wrapped around. There are things that we can do that other states have done with federal money for early learning and even for ways where we can intentionally bring in more employability skills. And I look forward to supporting those efforts.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I'm hearing, you know, bringing more power to the individual districts. I'm wondering, how do you feel about vouchers for charter schools?
Yeah, so Alaska is a pretty unique state about that. We have some very powerful public charter schools, and they should be supported. I think we also should be using some of those techniques in every school, which we've seen work. So I support that as well. With regard to vouchers, our state constitution protects us from public dollars going into private schools. And frankly, given how much our private public schools are getting cut, it's really important that we recognize there is no room to give public dollars out to private schools right now. It's just not even an option. Also, in other states where there has been vouchers, overall, the student outcomes have not been any higher whatsoever. So I'm a strong proponent for public education where each and every child has access to it. I think we need to make sure that our charters have transportation where necessary. I'm not sure that in your communities that's relevant, but in some of the urban communities it is. We just need to make sure it's easy access to every family, no matter what your zip code, that your child, your most precious seed corn for the future, can, have their learning experience be a lifelong learning experience because their sense of wonder is energized by school, not squelched.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. So, Elise, really, that's all the questions I have for now.
Hey, thank you so much, and I can't impress it enough upon how much it's important that each and every person takes this opportunity to vote seriously. I know so many people have been disenfranchised or feeling like, you know, I don't really care, it doesn't relate to me. And I'm asking for each person to think of this differently because I'm doing something entirely different because I know we have a chance to make a different life for Alaskans here. And I just hope that listeners think of this as something different and then they are perhaps inspired to themselves do something different. It takes, a few minutes, but most of us are registered, whether we know it or not. We are now registered through PFD. And so do something different this year. Take back the power the way it should be of the people. Get on in there anytime between now and November 6th. And if you have any questions of me, feel free to give me a call. My number is 907-231-5556. It's 907-231-5556. And my website's Elise4 Alaska.com. We're doing this differently, and I care about what you have to say. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much. Take care. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Mm-hmm.